Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas with Discover the Finger Lakes at SaverLife.com. And just saw an article from the Finger Lakes Times about a property in Waterloo. I think it's kind of a fascinating story, and you can look it up. You can read five articles, I think, a month for free at Finger Lakes Times. But maybe become a subscriber and support what they're doing. There's a relatively small number of key publications in our region. Finger Lakes Times, FingerLakes1.com, Edible Finger Lakes, Life in the Finger Lakes. These are, a fairly small list of publications that really make our area, I think, a better place to live, and are pretty inexpensive to subscribe to. I mean, Edible Finger Lakes, I think, is $36 for a year. They're about to come up with out with a new issue. Fabulous publication. So this article in the Finger Lakes Times is about the former home of Judge J.K. Richardson on Virginia Street in Waterloo. And this is what's uninhabitable now, this home. It could be a gorgeous home. It was originally built in the 1850s, has a mansard roof, big house, probably 3,000 or 4,000 square feet. There's a wraparound porch, they say, was added some point in the 1870s. They're looking for proposals. There's an RFP for redevelopment of this house, and those are due by Friday, May 28th. And so, beyond this house in particular, which is a pretty cool-looking house, I think I've ever driven by it. Next time I'm in Waterloo, I'm going to go down Virginia Street and find it. It's the whole process that this house has gone through. So there's something called the Finger Lakes Regional Land Bank Corporation, which is Seneca County, agency of Seneca County, according to the article in the Finger Lakes Times. And they purchased this property from the previous owner, and it had just been derelict property. The land bank actually, again, according to the article, paid to remove all kinds of debris and trees and grapevines and things that had just taken over not just the yard, but the house itself. And they've put out this request for proposals. And so the land bank went and got a variance from the village so that they could, this could be turned into up to 4 apartments, because they didn't think that as a single home that they could find someone to rehab it and turn it into a part of the history of the village. It's keeping one of the really iconic homes of the village from, at this point, either it gets fixed up or it's a bulldozer is going to have to take it down. This is exactly what we need to happen to throughout our region, to save properties like this. And we'll do an interview with the land bank in the future. But it wasn't just the land bank. The local initiatives support corporation provided some funding in order for the land bank to purchase it, and then Landmark Society of Western New York provided a grant to study the feasibility of rehabilitation of this home. And so this dates back to, I guess, 2018 is when the land bank acquired it. And you can see a photo of it in this article. I think the land bank is going to sell it for a very nominal amount of money. I don't know how much that would be, but nothing compared to what it's going to cost to rehabilitate this home. It says that the property is not currently listed individually or as part of a district on the National Register of Historic Places. Gorgeous home in this Italianate wraparound porch. I've seen, there's several people I know that post photos of homes that need help, and then in some cases homes that have been resurrected. And some of these were in far worse condition than this one is. It's a brick house, and looks to have probably a living space or something in the third floor where that mansard roof is, several chimneys, but it needs a ton of work and money put into it. So I love this example of how organizations have worked together to help preserve these and try to repurpose them for another life, so that we don't lose this kind of history. And all through our region, there are downtowns as well as individual homes and barns and all kinds of structures that need help. Are in some cases, it doesn't make fiscal sense for a homeowner to do it or for a business to do it. But the town of Perry is an amazing example of taking big buildings in their downtown, and businesses got together, purchased them, renovated them, and leased them. And now they are, functioning tax-paying properties that make downtown Perry look even more interesting and beautiful. Actually, there was a block of pre-Civil War buildings that was part of the Five to Revive that the Landmark Society of Western New York does each year, and that's where Ration Wine Bar is located now, which it's a fantastic wine bar in downtown Perry. And that's also the same block where Butter Meat Company is, a local butcher who's doing some great things, as well as a bakery, the Cupcake Bakery, also in that block. These stories, these historic structures they'll have a lot of meaning in the future. It may be hard to imagine, but there are so many examples of things that we've torn down that we regret now, and examples of things that we didn't tear down that went through multiple maybe owners and purposes and have now been renovated and are gorgeous, gorgeous structures. So on the negative side, we have like the train station in Rochester that was torn down in the 60s that if we still had that, it would be amazing to be able to walk through that old train station. But it's gone. It was torn down because it was too expensive to repair at the time. But that idea of being too expensive to repair is a relative term. It was something we should have saved for other reasons than only the economic value of what it could be, as a train station, for example. But other communities, maybe you visited the Lackawanna Railroad Station in Scranton, or even train stations in Utica, and other parts of the state that are still here. They're still, key architectural gems within those communities. So there have been a lot of structures which, you know, were on the brink. I mean, Esperanza Mansion, that was, that in severe disrepair. It was completely redone, and I'm not. It's gone through several ownership and changes, and I'm not sure where it stands today. But it is, you know, someone invested the money, and it will be here for the future. But at one point, it might not have been. I mean, things like this home in Waterloo or Esperanza Mansion, you know, were in which was in some serious disrepair. You know, a fire, a leak in the roof, and these structures can deteriorate very quickly, and then they're gone. So, you know, consider becoming a member of the Landmark Society of Western New York. Consider getting involved in a local land bank or, you know, preservation in some way. And, you know, 50 years from now, even 30 years from now, I think we'll look back and be grateful that we saved things. I really can't think of a structure where we've regretted it. I'm sure there are some, but I really can't think of any. But it takes money, it takes people, it takes passion. Often it takes volunteers who are working behind the scenes to, you know, like in this case, the land bank did the work of getting the zoning changed so that could be up to 4 apartments. That makes it much easier for someone to redevelop because they don't have the uncertainty of whether they'll be able to do that. Again, that takes time and money for that process. So again, check out the article. David Shaw wrote this in the Finger Lakes Times, and can't wait to see what happens with this beautiful home. Again, there's so many of these in our region. It's really, it's gorgeous. Also, this past week and then over the next couple weeks in particular, there's going to be a lot happening in the battle over Bitcoin mining on Seneca Lake. This is a former power plant, Greenidge, which was still a power plant, but has been repurposed in what I consider to be a negative way to mine Bitcoins. I don't have anything against Bitcoins at all. I think they probably have a bright future. But they, there is an incredible amount of energy goes into quote unquote mining them because of all the computers one has to run. And I think they have 7,000 computers right now at Greenidge that are, you know, running 24/7. And, again, 7,000 computers, and they're getting, I don't know, 1 or 2 Bitcoins a day, maybe something like that. They're making a ton of money. They have a huge power plant and they want to expand. Of course, they want to make more money, which don't blame them for that. But by expanding, they are also going to expand the noise, water, and air pollution that they're generating using fracked gas. Mine Bitcoins with renewable energy, but don't make the pollution in our region worse by firing up a power plant to full power and using just unimaginable amounts of water to cool these computers and returning that heated water to Seneca Lake. So go to Seneca Lake Guardian, SenecaLakeGuardian.com or .org, and see what they're doing, and consider again maybe donating, maybe volunteering, maybe writing to the town of Torrey and try to convince them that this decision, and the town of Torrey at this point appears to have the control over whether this expansion happens or not. They need to realize this is a regional problem that's building. The pollution is not going to just be in Dresden. This is not, an example where Dresden is deciding whether they want to deal with the pollution, and no one else has to. And maybe if that were the case, that all the pollution stayed in Dresden, and they got enough tax money, they would say, we'll accept the pollution because we're getting the tax money. But in this case, they're getting some tax money, actually a lot less than you might expect. Peter Mantius wrote about this in his Waterfront Online blog. You should follow him, and he's written about a lot of environmental issues and is a professional journalist, so does a lot of really good research. And this pollution is going to go over the entire region. It's going to go in the water, with heated water being returned to Seneca Lake in vast quantities. And of course, when you burn fossil fuels, there's air pollution. And this company is not interested in taking the measures needed to mitigate this. They're not putting the fish screens in to avoid bringing fish into their cooling system, which it's 130, up to 139 million gallons a day. That's, you might initially wonder, well, how can they, why do you need fish screens? You're taking in water and you're sort of imagining the small pipe, like, 4-inch wide pipe that you might use, or even smaller, 2-inch one that for a cottage or something, and you're drawing water in. This is 100, up to, I think right now, about 100 million gallons that they're using a day. And the system brings fish and everything else into it. And they haven't put the screens in. They don't have a closed loop system for cooling it, and they could. DEC recommended it. They've ignored that. They're just, as someone said, they're a bad actor. Unfortunately, they happen to be a really big one, and right now a really wealthy one because of the increase in cost or the price of Bitcoin. So again, Seneca Lake Guardian, a great starting point for getting involved. And just like the historic property I mentioned in Waterloo, we can't sit back and just hope that these things happen. We can't sit back and hope that Bitcoin won't add pollution over an incredibly large area in the Finger Lakes and damage Seneca Lake. We can't just hope that that historic building down the street from you is going to survive. We need to get involved in these things if we want to protect our community, if we want to preserve our community. So, and if you have comments, questions, please send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. Love to hear from listeners and get your reactions. And let me know what you do. You can send some letters, you can volunteer, you can donate. There's many ways to get involved. And these are big issues that will be with us for decades, or not be with us in the case of historic structures that end up getting torn down. So if you know some cool examples of historic structures that have been saved near you, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Send me a couple photos. Love to see them. Probably will end up driving over to see them at some point. It's the work that the Land Bank, Finger Lakes Land Bank, is doing, and the Landmark Society of Western New York, give me a lot of hope that we can preserve this history in our region. And when I see all the volunteers and passionate people who are looking to protect Seneca Lake, I have some hope that there's a future for the fresh water of the Finger Lakes and Seneca Lake without these massive industrial projects. And just a couple days ago, saw a letter from the mayor of Dresden to the mayor of Watkins Glen. I guess this letter had been made public, and it was a letter that the mayor of Dresden was trying to convince the mayor of Watkins Glen to not support a resolution Watkins Glen is considering against the Bitcoin mining expansion at Greenidge. And there are communities all around the Finger Lakes that are starting to look at resolutions like this. And the frankly, the letter looks like it was written by the PR department for Greenidge, which say that's likely, but certainly is possible. And the they're basically claiming that there's a huge misinformation campaign, which I guess I'm part of. Although they don't mention me, they mention the Sierra Club and the Committee to Preserve the Finger Lakes and Seneca Lake Guardian, says have conducted a misinformation campaign against Greenidge Generation, a company in my hometown of Dresden. They have asked communities to pass a resolution that are based entirely on false and misleading claims about the company's operation. And yeah, it's all in your point of view. They say that in this letter, Greenidge is a clean, reliable source of power for thousands of homes and businesses in upstate New York. That's nominally true. They're a peaker plant that only used when larger quantities of electricity are needed. It says they're protecting Seneca Lake with the best technology available. You know, again, is that misinformation, or is what I said about the fact they're not using fish screens that they were supposed to use, not using closed loop cooling, which is the best technology available? You know, it is a typical strategy for a company like this to claim that it's all fake news and misinformation. But I leave that up to you. Do some research. Go to Seneca Lake Guardian. Go to Greenidge. Read about what they're doing. Learn a little bit about Bitcoining, Bitcoin mining. And this letter really upset me. And there's no actual basis for the concerns being raised. Well, that's just not true. I mean, you know, you may not agree with the idea that releasing massive quantities of warm water back into Seneca Lake will harm the lake, but it is. It's a fact that that's what they're doing. They would claim they have the permit to do it, which is true, but that permit was issued and grandfathered into the Clean Water Act, so they don't have to follow the Clean Water Act, which means that they can get away with releasing water that's far warmer than the Clean Water Act allows. So they are within the letter of the law, certainly not within the spirit of a community, a company that's interested in the community. They want to make money. And that's why we need companies like that regulated, because they will do everything they can to get around spending money to protect the community. And the claim that they're using the best technology available is just demonstrably not true. They're not doing that. So that claim alone certainly hurts their credibility. So I wrote a letter that I'm going to send to the Finger Lakes Times today, sort of a response of the mayor in Watkins Glen to what the mayor of Dresden was saying, and I'll read it next week after I send it in. I have to tweak it a little bit more, but basically, it's that the future of the Finger Lakes is not Bitcoin mining. It's not burning fossil fuels to mine cryptocurrency, and we have to protect the lakes, the soil, the air, and things in our region, or we're not going to have the bright future that we look forward to now, really, which is not landfills and trash incinerators and gas storage and power plants ramping up to full power. So, again, if you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. I'll be back tomorrow with a wine show, some cool things happening in the region, and again, April 5th is the deadline to register for the Finger Lakes Craft Beverage Conference. If you want the four beers and four hard ciders mailed to you, the conference is April 14th and 15th in the afternoons. It's a virtual conference this year. It's FLX Craft Bev Con for conference.com. And $75 registration, lots of cool panels, interesting ones, I think, for anyone, not just people in the industry. And again, as part of that $75 registration, they'll send you the four beers and four ciders, hard ciders, for their virtual tastings at the end of each of those sessions, Wednesday and Thursday, April 14th and 15th. Have a great day. Enjoy this warmer weather, and we'll be back with a grapevine tomorrow here at SaverLife.com.